The title very much speaks for itself. The Body Beautiful in ancient Greece means that we're looking at how the nude human form was represented 2,500 years ago and why they presented the body the way they did. And so this exhibition spans several centuries, from around 700 BC through to around the 2nd century AD, and it's looking at the evolution of human representation in ancient Greece.
In the beginning, in the start of that period, the body is very much idealised?
It really is, yes, that's right. At the beginning of the exhibition, the very first theme that you walk into is the male body beautiful. And in that you see three-dimensional representations of young men, which were known as kouros in ancient Greece, which means young men. And the sculptors and artisans that created these figures had a set of rules that they would apply to make sure that they presented the ideal archetypal beautiful form.
What about women? You're talking a lot about young men here. What about women? How were they depicted?
Well, young men, or the male, were very important in ancient Greek civilization. That culture was a very patriarchal one. Women weren't seen with the same level of importance. If anything, they were almost chattels or objects that were owned by first their fathers and then their husbands. And so if they ever got any sense of power, it was through marrying a wealthy man and being allowed to run the household, or potentially that they would become a high priestess at a temple. So when it came to representation of women, generally speaking, they were represented clothed because they did not hold the same importance as men.
And where does the crossover between, I guess, the human form and the gods come into it?
We've got to remember that when we're talking about the gods and goddesses or Greek mythology from 2,500 years ago, we're talking about their religion. And so to them it wasn't myth, it was their belief system. But when it came to representing a god or a goddess, of course, they're going to be beautiful. They're going to have the best bodies because they're immortal and they're lovely. And so representing, say, Aphrodite or Apollo or even Zeus, of course they're going to look absolutely gorgeous.
Now, these pieces have come from the British Museum. It's an exhibition that's travelled in other places as well?
It really has. This exhibition has essentially been on tour since 2007, and it's been seen on pretty much every continent. So it's toured Europe, the Asias, the Americas, and it hadn't been seen in Australia before. So when we started talking to the British Museum, and they liked what they saw in terms of what we've done in the past, we were very excited to be able to pull yet another exclusive and bring it here to Australia.
And just in time, because the gallery has, of course, expanded, has new spaces, and I understand there's been a lot of praise from the British Museum about how the exhibition's been lit.
Yes, so this exhibition is in some of our original contemporary rooms, but it also takes over our whole new wing, and so it's across 8 galleries. It's a very substantial exhibition. And when the curator of the show, Dr. Ian Jenkins, came out about a week before we launched, he was gobsmacked, I think. Mm-hmm. It's the first time the show's been seen in a contemporary white gallery. Normally it has been shown in very dark and moody settings, mm-hmm. and so he loves it. He absolutely loves it, and he couldn't praise us enough for the lighting and the design.
I think it actually, and I haven't seen it in a sort of darkened room, but it actually allows for the detail particularly to be seen, and you actually want to walk around the whole piece so that you can see every angle.
Yeah, I love it. I was lucky enough to go over and see it when it was on at the Dallas Museum of Art last year. And that's another fantastic contemporary space, but they painted out their walls from floor to ceiling in black. Mm. It was very dramatic. It looked absolutely amazing. But one thing that I think we managed to do is I think we have the opportunity to remind people that when these objects were first created thousands of years ago, they were created as works of art because we've put them back into that gallery environment. Mm. And we've got this fantastic juxtaposition between the White Cube Contemporary Gallery and antiquities from thousands of years ago.
Mm. And if we talk about statues, particularly of nudes, do the Greeks do it best?
Well, by our way of thinking today, they really do. If you look at any of the figures that are looking at the archetypal beauty, they very much fit with Western ideals today. And they were the first civilization that celebrated beauty. Other civilizations like the Egyptians and Middle Eastern civilizations, they saw the nude as a way to subjugate. So if it was a battle scene, for example, the victor would be clothed and the defeated would be naked and probably flayed and tortured as well. Whereas the Greeks reversed that, and they saw the naked form, particularly the male naked form, as being a symbol of excellence.
And is there, I don't know, with contemporary audiences today coming in, is it hard to get beyond that, I guess, the mental attitudes that we have today about nudity and a sexualisation, I guess, of the body?
I think that there's already a really strong awareness in most people's understanding of the classical sculpture. For example, you know, in our sculpture annex that faces Roslyn Park, we've got Victorian versions of similar works. So they're sculptors from the 1900s and the 1900s, who went and saw the original antiquities and then sculpted their own versions. And so we do have that understanding. And it's not about sexuality. Mm-hmm. We've had a couple of people comment, and the curator Ian says that this is a recurring question, about the size of the genitalia on the male sculptures, because it's not particularly generous. It's, if anything, it's a bit diminutive. And the reason for that is because the sculptors from around the 5th century BC were looking at celebrating the body as a whole. They were not trying to sexualise, so they didn't want to bring attention to the genitalia, because that would have cast a whole another level of meaning over the work. We do have a particular chapter in the show which is Sex and Desire, and that does explore representation of the nude in very, I guess, private scenes. But the ancient Greeks did not have the same attitude to that aspect of their life that we most likely have today. So they were more open about it.
And I guess the poster boy of the whole show is Discobolus. And most people will know that as the man holding the discus. Why is he so magnificent?
He's extraordinary, isn't he? I mean, it doesn't matter if you're into track and field or not. Just looking at him is it does take your breath away. And he is, we know that he is an exercise in capturing that sense of the ideal. He was first created in around 450 BC in bronze by an artist called Myron. And he was, again, looking at those particular formulaic elements to create the perfect representation of the human form, and that included notions of tension versus relaxation and balance and all of those sorts of notions. And we think he's really captured it, and I think that's why he stood the test of time over centuries and centuries.
How long will the exhibition be running here at Bendigo?
Oh, we've still got plenty of time. We've only been open for 2 weeks and we've had a fantastic response, but we've got until the 9th of November, so about 3 months to go.
And I don't know if this was well organised or just ironic, but the other exhibition going on at the moment looks at underwear. So you go from nudity to underwear quite quickly between the two exhibitions.
Yes, or vice versa, from underwear to nudity. So we've got Undressed, 350 years of underwear in fashion, and that's visiting from the Victoria and Albert Museum. And as you know, we've now got a good, long-lasting relationship with them. And it was more just a happy coincidence that we'd already signed on the dotted line for the British Museum exhibition. And then the Victorian Albert approached us and asked us if we'd like to take the underwear show. And it's quite a fun thing to have going on in the gallery.